recognizing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Today on Church and State, we'll be joined by Pastor Artur Pawlowski. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier. With me, as always, Pastor Gabe Blomgren. Once again, your favorite far-right shock jocks and the most schizophrenic show you listen to on a daily basis.
The one and only podcast that's going to hit the most controversial topics, faith and politics, and have Jesus as the referee right smack dab in the middle.
Hey, I need everyone to go on over to churchandstate.media. We are going to have a show today that is going to expose the deep state and really the media. And we're going to be doing our due diligence as alternative media, which I know you've all come to know and love and trust, because we got a story here to showcase how much once you start standing up for liberty and the rights of individuals, how they just try to silence and censor everything.
One of the most controversial and courageous pastors who've drawn the view of millions. One of my favorite quotes General Flynn loves to say is, courage is contagious. This is the pastor, in my opinion, Caleb, who's exhibited this with absolute, just complete resolution.
I completely agree on that. Hey, also take advantage of all of our fine affiliates. Let's talk about gold real quick. Andrew Sorcini with Beverly Hills Precious Metals. We've been on this a lot lately, and it's because we want to help you. We want to make sure that your money isn't stuck in the stock market, in the dollar, as the BRICS nations align and really try to take us down as a nation. So get some precious metals. You want tangible assets that you can hold in your hands to secure yourself and your family, to ensure that you don't end up in some government breadline. I talk about it all the time, but it's coming at us, folks. Use that promo code Church and State. We'll get a little bit of that back. Also, donate to us specifically. Just hit that donate button. And last but not least, if you want to get a hold of us, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. All right, it is my pleasure to once again have Pastor Artur Pawlowski on this program. If you don't familiar with Pastor Artur, look, just go on YouTube. I hate YouTube. Go to Rumble and just search out the pastor who kicked the Nazis, the Gestapo, out of his church when they tried to shut him down. It was absolutely incredible and highly motivating, I would say, Gabe.
Yeah, I would definitely say that Trudeau knows you by name. So that's you know, I think that's a good thing. You call out your enemies by name. That's one thing I love about you, Pastor Artur, is you call out people in Parliament by name. And I think we need to do that more as pastors. We need to literally say their name.
Yes, I mean, when you look at the Bible, God has given us those different villains by name. I mean, if it was important for God for us to know who those people were, I think we should follow in his footsteps and call evil, evil by its name. When they came to our church after harassing us for a very long time, because you got to remember, the Canadian government was already harassing, intimidating, threatening, ticketing me for over a year. My ordeal with the newest lie, the pandemic lie, started in the beginning of 2020 when I received a letter from the government telling me I have to stop feeding and saving the lives. I mean, it was ridiculous because I told them my services, if we are truly in the middle of this crisis, as you say, my services are now needed more than ever. I appealed it to the mayor, I appealed it to the premier, I appealed it to every minister in our province, and not one replied. That already told me that this whole thing is a big fat lie, and I kept the soup kitchen and the church going. So for me, it was over a year until the next year, Passover. We are celebrating right now the same timeline, if you will, just a few years before, 3 years now. And when they came to our church, I called them by their proper names. And yes, some people were upset. How come a pastor is calling those nice, polite officers Gestapo and Nazi and communists and psychopaths? Well, you got to remember, I am a Polish immigrant. I grew up in hell. I grew up behind the Iron Curtain under the boots of the Soviets. I've seen this movie before. I lived this movie before, and we must change the script. Also, our elders. When I was growing up, I grew up in a city with a concentration camp. As kids, we were playing in the bunkers of the SS. I visited Auschwitz-Birkenau many times and other concentration camps from school as a reminder what happens when you don't put checks and balances in the so-called representatives of the people. Also, you got to remember, I grew up in a country where the stories were very alive. My grandparents lived through the Nazi era. My grandma was in Auschwitz-Birkenau. Mengele, the angel of death, as he was called, experimenting on her. Two of her children were murdered by the Nazis during the experiment. So we went through the craziness. My grandfather was arrested by the Russians, taken to Siberia. Took him 2 years to come back, escape to Poland. My grandma and my great uncle were arrested by the Soviets. He was a soldier. He lowered my grandma on a rope and they escaped to Poland. So those things were very alive in my family, this fight against evil. And when I called them Gestapo, people do not understand that the Gestapo simply means political police. Those officers were not acting in a capacity to serve and protect. They were acting in a capacity of a political police, because everything that was done to us had nothing to do with keeping us safe or saving lives. It was all politically motivated. It's still politically motivated to this day. So when you watch, you must first of all think about what is this person is trying to communicate, what is happening. And of course, 3 years later, the rhetorics, the words that I was using are widely used around the world. I was just a little bit a forerunner, an icebreaker, if you will, before the rest of the world to catch up really what is going on. And now everywhere I look, people are calling them Nazis. They're calling them Gestapo.
Yeah, people are joining in. They use that term now openly. I think once it's like somebody breaks the, you know, 4 minute mile, everybody starts using it, that term, and nobody's scared to use that term Nazi, because we've been described, Donald Trump's described every day as a Nazi. And when you took that word, how dare you as a Christian conservative take their words and use them? I got a quick question for you, Pastor Arthur. You've done a lot of traveling. You've been throughout the United States, you and your wife, you and your family, you're regularly traveling, and the Lord's using you, you know, basically to wake up the American church. Can you give me a straight up, and if it hurts my feelings, I don't care, who is more awake? Who's got their head in the sand more? Like who has normalcy bias issues and rose colored sunglasses? Is it Canadian pastors or is it American pastors?
Well, I would say America is more awake than Canada. I'll tell you why. Because you got to remember the history again. America started the same way. So I'm talking about the North America. There was no Canada or USA at that time. The pilgrims came here escaping either famine or a religious persecution. They arrived on this soil, North America, and they went to their knees. And they dedicated this land, this North America, to God. They asked God to be their God. So there is a difference between the Israel and us. God chose a nobody, Abram, and he made him somebody. He chose a man to show his power through that little nation. What Americans did, and I'm talking about pilgrims that came here, the founding fathers, and before that, they asked God to be their God. They said, God, would you be our God? And God made a covenant with Israel, but he also made a covenant with North America. That's why Canada and United States are like brother and sister or two brothers. I don't see North America as a difference. However, when you were fighting for your independence, the loyalists, so those people that wanted to be under the boots of tyrant, moved north. They went to America, to Canada. So we have lots of people that are tied with globalist agenda, if you will. They're more blinded spiritually. And they have been working on this communism, socialism, tyranny in Canada for a very long time. While at the same time in the United States, you came with your unbelievable, amazing constitution. You had your Declaration of Independence. You have still I know it's hard to believe it, but you still have your amendments that sometimes are infringed on left and right, which I don't really understand why Americans are putting up with the infringement of their fundamentally guaranteed amendments and rights. So going back to the story, Canadians have been indoctrinated and worked on from the socialist communist perspective for a very long time, while Americans were resisting this for a very long time until the crackdown came. So in my opinion, traveling all over Canada and traveling all over the United States, you have more awake pastors. You have amazing remnant that is a lot bigger than the remnant in Canada. And also what I love about American people, you are very vocal. Either you love me and I will feel it, or you hate me and I will feel it. There is very little in between. That's why I feel like I'm at home in America, because that's the Polish way.
Let me just say this as well, Pastor Arter, because, you know, I want to defend you in particular, because, you know, you were talking about there were some people that took issue with you saying, you know, Gestapo, calling them Nazis. But I want to take people back into our history, because Pastor Arter, by all rights, could hate America. And what I'm talking about here is the betrayal that the United States engaged in against the Polish people in World War II. Well, actually, just post-World War II. You see, Churchill and FDR gave Poland to the Russians, and that ensured that you were behind the Iron Curtain. And so with your family history, you know, the tyranny and the oppression that you experienced, you could have a chip on your shoulder against what America did to your country, your home country. But no, that's not the case, because you are a man that loves the Lord and you love liberty. And so you have traveled all around the United States, a country that betrayed your people back in the day, but you love this country. Even though you are a Canadian, you love America and what she stands for.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because God gave me a revelation that this whole earth belongs to him. It does not belong to Biden, Clinton, Obamas, or Gates, or Schwabs, or, you know, psychopaths. It belongs to God. Everything we see belongs to him, and he has decided to give it to his people. And I am a child of the living God. I am heir to the throne. I am an ambassador of my king. So wherever he sends me, I take it as the land that belongs to the Lord. And sometimes people are forgetting who owns it all. Also, when I was here before my last arrest and, you know, being thrown in prison, I remember God told me to go to the United States and to warn Americans. And I was there during many different meetings and events, and sometimes we had 10,000 people at different rallies and events. And I remember observing. That's what I do. I'll show up and I try to observe, try to get a feel of the land and the people. And I remember, and I'll never shake this off, I'll never forget this. I started to watch the Americans during different songs, so your national anthem or God Bless America. And I'll never forget, I was there with my son, Nathaniel. I turned to my left and I look at the people singing, and I saw tears coming. God Bless America. And I looked to my right, and the same thing. People were standing there with their hands on their heart and crying. And I said, this is absolutely amazing. Those people love their land like I have never seen before. They're willing to pay the price for the land that God has given them. That's their promised land, and they're willing to defend and stand, and not only for themselves, but for their children. And I fell in love with America. America is not perfect. America, or the American dream, is an idea. It's a dream, but it's a beautiful dream where a man can work hard and achieve something beautiful and pass it on to the next generation, a dream of freedom, that I can worship my God without the government evil interference. That's a dream I want to live. A working hard-working man, a father, a husband that can work an extra job and get another house or an extra car. That's a beautiful dream. You work hard and you're being rewarded for your hard work. You see, in Poland that I grew up, under behind the Iron Curtain, under the boots of the Soviets, it didn't matter how hard you worked. Everyone received the same salary. Either you were laying and doing nothing, or you work, your life. It didn't matter. You could not achieve anything unless you were corrupted, unless you were stealing. The whole nation became a nation that everyone was stealing from everyone because the government was stealing from the people. So this dream called America is worth fighting for. It's worth standing for. It's worth pushing everywhere. This beautiful republic, I believe, in my opinion, is not the perfect system, but I think it's the best that we have. It's a constitutional republic where you have checks and balances, where everyone is supposed to be watching everyone, and this accountability that we've lost right now everywhere. It looks like those people in power, they're not afraid of anyone and anything because the corruption is at the highest levels. I think that's why they hate Donald Trump so much, because they know the guy cannot be bought. He has more money than he can spend. He is already famous, so he's not doing this for fame or glory. Or he was already a president. He doesn't have to do it again. I think that they are afraid of him because he's a very stubborn man. He actually reminds me of the Polish. I wouldn't be surprised if
he's got some pull. He's definitely got it in his roots, maybe.
Right. So I think that he wants to do what's right. And again, he's not a perfect man. If you're looking for perfection, choose Jesus as your king. When we are going to the polls, when we are choosing our elected representatives, we must understand they're not gods. They have flaws. They have mistakes. They've said and done stupid things. Sometimes I'm wondering why. Or why would you push this? This is stupid. This is crazy. But they are no different than you and me. So we must understand the seasons. And for my American brothers and sisters, I want you to know, hate Donald Trump, love him, it doesn't matter. He is your Winston Churchill in a time of war. Winston Churchill was an arrogant buffoon. He was thinking of himself higher. He was the aristocrat. He was just drunk constantly. He was smoking that stupid cigar everywhere he went. And yet, in my opinion, looking from the historical point of view, he was the best choice for such a time as this. And of course, he betrayed Poland after and all that stuff that you mentioned happened. But during the time of war, I believe if this was a different type of an individual, the Germans would take over England, and who knows what will happen to the rest of the world. But because he was stubborn like a donkey, because he was a new face, he was like, no, 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 we'll all fight. I think that never happened. So Donald Trump, in my opinion, you don't have to like him, but he is a person that has been chosen for such a time as this. And that's my personal opinion. I know his family. I've seen them. I have been speaking at the same platforms, and I observe people when the cameras are not rolling, how they behave, their children, and you can tell a lot about the man.
Yeah, I was going to just say his kids, they are so just like, we got to spend a brief amount of time with Eric Trump, and he was just so real. He actually bent down and introduced himself to a young girl who was handicapped, and there was no cameras. It wasn't like it was like being scripted or anything like that. And I also have to say, your son is an example of how, who you are. I've seen your son, Nathaniel. These are good representatives of like who a person is. Now I have to say, look at Biden's son. Come on.
Yeah.
Look at that. So I mean, it's how your kids turn out matters.
And even historically speaking, you brought up Churchill, and Trump is that kind of Churchill type character in the modern age here. But we also had Chamberlain, right? And this is an individual who wanted to have peace at all costs, no matter what it cost him. And he acquiesced to Hitler. We see that as a Biden now, So we're reliving what we saw during World War II with these two type of characters. Now, Pastor Arter, I wanted to get into something that you are doing, and it almost reminds me a little bit of the Velvet Revolution that occurred in Czechoslovakia. You are such a leader in our neighbors to the north, And we already saw the trucker convoy, which was very, very effective. But you've got another one that you are promoting and planning with farmers, really, this time, with tractors. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, what is happening right now, and again, I'm referring to history. If you want to control a society, you must control the food supply. So that's why you see all those weird things happening with our food, because they are implementing the next stage, which is enslavement of humanity by the use of food supplies. And they are attacking farmers, and not just in Europe, they are attacking farmers in Canada, they are attacking farmers in United States. Bill Gates has acquired more land than any other human in the United States, and he's wiping out the food supplies. He wants to control, for the globalists, the food supply. So what they're doing in Canada right now, they're upping their game, and they are enacting carbon tax that is wiping out our farmers. And it's so crazy. I don't understand why people don't see this, because everywhere you look, there is a talk from the globalists. There is a shortage of food. There is a shortage of food that we might end up with, you know, shortage of food. And yet at the same time, they're doing everything in their power to destroy the food production. So pay attention, not what they say, but what they do. They are have planned this for a very long time. And in Canada, they are literally destroying. You got to remember, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba are three provinces. It's a breadbasket for North America, if not the whole world. We are like the Ukraine if it comes to, you know, food production. We have prairies, thousands of miles of, farming. In Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. It's a breadbasket of the world. And they're attacking that by taxing the farmers to death. So when you look at the farming, they have done such a horrible job by enacting different red tapes and taxes upon this and that, that it becomes, it's just not profitable anymore to have a farm. And so they're bankrupting farmers. And what is happening right now, the farmers finally are looking at what is happening in Europe, Poland, of course, tens of thousands of tractors, Netherlands, France, Germany. And they said finally enough is enough, especially now when Trudeau Castro Caligula enacted 23% of carbon tax, which is going to finish us off. And that's, you got to remember, they're doing this on purpose. This is not, they don't know what they're doing. They precisely know what they're doing. They're destroying the farming, because then they won't be the sole producer and, you know, controller of the food supply. That's why during the COVID lie, the little shops were forced to shut down, but the mega store, which of course, with even following their narration, it didn't make any sense. So I could take 500 people to IKEA, no problem, but I could not go and buy eggs across the street in a small grocery store that could contain the spread with just one person at the time. No, they were forced to be shut down, and the mega stores, Costco's and, you know, Walmart's were open. Well, that's what they want. They want big institutions. They want big corporations that they can control. They're part of the globalist agenda. So going back to the farmers, finally, they said enough is enough. And on April the 1st, there is probably going to be something similar to the truck convoy all across Canada. The truckers are coming together. And I was already told that there is over 1,000 tractors in a Lethbridge area that is going to slow roll. And they're asking Canadians to come and join. So I don't know how this is going to unfold, because we also are dealing with propaganda like I have never seen before. And again, you're talking to a Polish immigrant that grew up in the middle of propaganda. So also, the RCMP, which is like your FBI, is talking to the government, and they're saying to the government, you got to pay attention, because Canadians are not happy with the government, and they will try to do something to take down this rotten, evil, corrupted government and enact, elect another one. So there is already talks about how to take down another civil uprising, peaceful uprising in Canada. So I don't know how this is going to look like on a Monday, the 1st of April, but I know that there's tens of thousands of people that are coming all over Canada, not just in one place, but they are trying to take key, symbolic places all over. And we still have political prisoners. On Tuesday, I'm going to Lethbridge again to attend a trial of people that I was with when I delivered my sermon. They are still in prison. They're still hunted down by the government, just like your January 6 people. So we must rise up. We must come together. And my beef is not with really those evil people. They don't know any better. Evil does what evil does, right? And they're forwarding their evil agenda or working for Satan. My beef is with the church. My beef is with the light. Why are you not shining? Pastors, where are thou? What happened to you? Why are you such a coward? The Bible is very clear that the shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep, and I have not seen that. In a big scale, don't get me wrong, there are some amazing pastors, there are some amazing churches, but I'm talking global. The whole church, the global church failed.
I love what you're saying here, Pastor Arter. There's so much to unpack there. Number one, the beef with the church, not with the state. Canada is a socialist government, and we know that socialism is built on Satanism. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You read any of the writings from Marx, from Mao, from Lenin, Stalin, whoever it may be, it is a satanic agenda. And so you don't take issue with the fact that they're just following their leader, and some of them may not even know that their leader is, in fact, Satan. But I love the church because we need that light. We have to be that light, that shining light on the hill that stands as Bonhoeffer did and said, no, this is wrong, this is evil, we have to take action. Now, to follow up on another thing that you said, talking about this tractor convoy, you can clearly see the evil nature of the green movement because it is designed to create a famine, a massive famine, and this is at a worldwide scale. This is revelation level of famine that we're talking about here. All right, but we're pushing back against it. We're fighting back against what they're attempting to do to us. Now, there's been a complete media blackout. Your version of the FBI is aware of this. They're focusing on this. They're talking about to the government about this to try to shut this down. But the media, in typical fashion, is not talking about this at all, correct?
No, they're not, because they're part of the system. Canadian media is completely bought and paid for by the state. We do not have independent media anymore if it comes to mainstream. What we do have, we have some media outlets that are running the news from internet. So you've got internet media, you've got some reporters that are going around and reporting and posting it on X or Facebook or other platforms, but that's just simply not enough. Majority of the Canadians have been indoctrinated so much that they are glued to the stupid, dumbest, evil, lying TVs, believing what they're being told. And that's a problem, because the mainstream media are lying to the people. They're pathological liars. They're doing what the government is telling them to do. I am probably the most censored individual in the country. I mean, it's just insanity. They took down my big YouTube channel. I had millions of views, and the rest of my platforms are completely shadow banned. And God has to help us out to spread the word around and get the news out to the people. Because again, we must understand that this fight has always been about the same thing. It's about, did God really say that? The fight is about the truth from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. It's all about the truth. Why? Because the truth sets the captives free. So again, we must come together and we must become courageous and bold. We must do what the heroes of old did. Enough of this victim mentality. And that's the message that God gave me a few months ago when I came to the States again. He's told me clearly, tell the people, enough of this victim mentality. Poor me, look what they're doing to me. I gave you the power. I gave you the authority. I gave you my blood, the Holy Spirit, the truth. I will give you the resources you need. You must tell the people. You must tell the church, rise up, stand up, and you have to truly become the head, not the tail. You must push the darkness. You must be the light. You see, there is no real fight between the light and the darkness. The moment the light shows up, darkness has to go. Those evil people are extremely weak. They're like cockroaches. Mm-hmm. When you bring the light, they run. So what I did, and I'm so grateful that God is allowing me to do this, I filed one of the biggest, if not the biggest, lawsuit in the history of Canada. I am suing the Canadian government, and listen to this, I'm not just suing them. We are alleging a conspiracy, like you in the States, you have RICO. And we are alleging that the Canadian government or different government organizations conspired criminally against me, my family, my brother, and our church. I mean, you got to remember, they tried to assassinate me, they ticketed me, they invaded our places, they came to my home multiple times. I was arrested by every force in the land, by RCMP, that's like your FBI, Calgary Police, uniform, detectives, undercover, SWAT team, special anti-terrorist force. I mean, every agency that there is, we have been subjected to imprisoned, metal cages, solitary confinement, psych ward, max spot for the most dangerous terrorists in the land. They unleashed this hell on me because they wanted to break me. They wanted my confession. They wanted me to say, I'm guilty, I'm sorry, please let me go home. So what we're going after the Attorney General of Canada, we're going after the Chief of Police, we're going after RCMP, we're going after different police individuals, we're going after the prison system, we're going after Alberta Health Services. We are suing them, and we're going to prove without a shadow of a doubt that those different people and different organizations conspired together to hurt us. And I'm telling you what is happening right now. They are freaking out. The director, Fader, director of Calgary's Riemann Center, that ordered to put me in metal cages and concrete cells, the one that ordered to for me to be stripped naked so many times, when my lawyers went there to ask for the documentation of my stay in prison, few days after, he resigned. And I think what they think in their heads is, if I resign, I'm off the hook. But that's not how it works in a civil litigation. I'm not suing them because he was the director only. I'm suing him for what he did to me. And either he is in the capacity of the director or not. Either he still is a police officer or health inspector. It doesn't matter. I'm going after the person. You did this to me. You cannot say I was just following orders. I was doing what I'm told. No, no. You chose to harass me. You chose to torture me. You chose to do those things. And I'm going after you. So it's very interesting because when we filed the document, we did a press conference in January, and all the mainstream propaganda showed up. All the cameras were there. However, when they hurt my lawyer, and me saying to the public, what is our intention? That we're not just suing them for money. We are suing them, alleging conspiracy to commit crime. They put a cap on the story. So in Canada, no one knows that we have filed one of the biggest lawsuits in the history of this country, literally going after hundreds of different individuals. So that's very interesting. That tells me they're scared.
I think I want to say the left, typically what they do, and this is what they've popularized as far as, we didn't know the name Derek Chauvin until the George Floyd event. The police officer, whether you agree with it or not, his name was smashed all over the news. Could we not agree? Mm-hmm. I would love to see that same type of thing with a politician. You know how cops have got a really bad reputation now because they've gone after individual cops. That's what they do. They get some big fomented situation and then they go after one cop. I love what you're doing, Pastor Archer, because you in this situation on the right are the George Floyd. You're the one who's been attacked. Now we just need to get one of these politicians to go down for what they've done. This guy who's made you strip down bare nude. This guy needs to be all over social media. I'm praying this lawsuit does exactly what the left does. They take one person, shoot them down, discredit them. And then eventually they get blacklisted or, you know, erased.
Well, one of the things that the audience needs to understand is every single one of these individuals that we're talking about, Trudeau, Biden, doesn't matter. They're all students of Saul Alinsky. And Saul Alinsky, one of his tactics was to go after people because people hurt more than organizations yes. do. So they're all following suit with that. What you've done is flip the script. And you are now going after the individual, making them hurt. And I tell you, they don't like that very much.
No, they don't. They're scared because there is this notion, which is not true, that if I'm just following orders, I am protected under whatever the umbrella you're under. So I'm a health inspector and I'm just doing what I'm told. Therefore, I'm not accountable for my actions. No, that's not true. Nuremberg proved that this was not true. What we need right now is a Nuremberg number two. So if I was your king or if I was your president, our prime minister in Canada, that's exactly what I would do. I would start trials for treason, for example, because I believe that majority of the so-called servants of the people have committed acts of treason and they should be charged with treason. I would reinstate the death penalty for those that committed acts of treason. But now, you got to remember, Trudeau Castro Caligula is a son of Pierre Trudeau, allegedly son, because some people think
that Fidel.
Fidel's son, but whatever, it doesn't matter. He's following this father or that father, the all evil, wicked people. They were friends, by the way, Pierre Trudeau and Fidel Castro. So what happened was, it was the Pierre that took down the death penalty, and it was Pierre that enacted a martial law against his people when he was the prime minister. His son did the same thing. So we see a pattern here. We see that those people are following a script and they are stripping us from our rights and our freedoms. So we need strong leadership. And unfortunately, in Canada, we don't have strong leadership. All of those people that have been elected, including Pierre Poilievre, I don't get it why Canadians are not getting it. They look at that man that kept his mouth shut, profited it from the COVID. His wife made millions of dollars instead of being in opposition to the government. He was part of the government, you know, stay at home policy and be jabbed like a Swiss cheese. They were forwarding this, and somehow now he is running a campaign or let's axe the tax. He wants to get rid of one carbon tax, but Canadians are paying 55% in taxes already. So, and this guy is being viewed as the savior of Canada, and it's just beyond me. I don't understand what's wrong with Canadians. They think that he is their savior, he's their hero, and they all are leading us into the same slaughterhouse. So we do not have, at least in America, you have some courageous, amazing politicians. I met some of them. I just came from Washington, D.C. I was invited to pray for your nation in Washington, D.C. And I met, I think it was 30, 40 politicians, Congress people, senators, House Speaker, that publicly prayed and preached the gospel. I get it. They're not perfect people, but at least you have that. I was in Ohio. I met with some politicians over there as well. Amazing, courageous women and men that are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. In Canada, we don't have that. The so-called conservatives are not conservatives at all. They are the rhinos. that you have completely sold conservative ideas and threw them under the bus. They are morally bankrupt, maybe a little bit better fiscally, but morally they're not standing for anything that is good. Then we got NDP, which is communism, socialism, psychopaths. And then we've got the liberals. Liberals are like your democrats. They are completely demon-possessed, evil, wicked. So that's why in the United States you're better off. I think you... you have courageous men and women that are willing to stand and push this evil agenda. And that's why I love to visit your country, because it's a fresh breath of air. And I get it that when you live over there, you see all the negative and all the bad stuff. And there is that, of course. However, you still have good people that are willing to risk it all. I was just in Mar-a-Lago. I was invited to speak.
Yeah, we were there with you.
That's right. You were there. So you see a room filled with like-minded individuals from every walk of life willing to push this evil agenda. And I see this everywhere. I just got invited to a pastor's meeting in Moravian Falls, which is going to happen next month. And again, there is hundreds, if not thousands, of pastors that are coming to come together and pray and get the courage to push this great, great evil, this globalistic agenda away from their cities and their states. So there is hope. And I want the people to understand what he said to me many years ago. He said, when I was discouraged, when I was being arrested, when I was facing another court, another ticket, I remember I had to remortgage my house. Again, I was completely bankrupt. And I said, God, like, come on, you need to help me or they will finish me off. And he said this to me. He said, Art, remember this for the rest of your life. You and me, we are always the majority. We must understand this concept that when God shows up, it's over for the villains. Without God, we are done. We are finished. There's nothing we can do. But when God shows up, it's over for our villains. That's why we must come together. Enough of the divisions. Enough of, I don't belong to this denomination. I don't belong to that denomination. You know how widely I was criticized for being there with the Catholics and speaking from the podium of the Catholics? And I said, you people are stupid. You're not getting it. The same fish that wants to kill you wants to kill
exactly
me, kill them. So let's focus on the big fish. When we kill the big fish that wants us and our children dead, then we can go back to our stupid little skirmish if you want to, if that's your hobby. I got no time for
that.
Yeah,
we're in war right now. We don't have time for that at all. I want to ask you a question. It's kind of, I don't know if you're going to be able to comment on this, but you have a premier who was appearing to be on your side, Daniela Smith. She during 2023, when you were going through a lot of stuff, it looks as if she, you know, there was a leaked phone call where, you know, she said, hey, this, you're being targeted. This is her words, that you're targeted and it's politically motivated. And I believe that to be true. She also said, leave this with me. They tried going after her. Was she somebody on your side? And is it good to say that she was with you, or was she against you, you know, in the long run? And just talk about how, you know, what that all was, if you're able to.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I said it hundreds of times already. I mean, this was all over the news. This was a number one story in the country for 3 months. It was insane. I did press conference at the legislature, and it was craziness. I know Danielle Smith for many years. We were in the same political party called Wild Rose Party many years ago. And what she did then, she's doing today. She abandoned conservative movement. She crossed the floor, took about 10 MLAs with her, and she killed the movement, the freedom movement, the Wild Rose. Wild Rose never regained its strength. It got destroyed. Danielle Smith is an opportunist. She will tell you what you want to hear at that moment, and then she will tell something else to another group of people. She ran she ran her platform to become the premier on a few notions. She said that she's going to bring amnesty bill against those that were targeted. She publicly said that there will be a recompensation to the pastors that were targeted by the government and a public apology. She said that she's going to protect our rights and reinstate those that lost their jobs because they refused the jobs. While all of those things, she did nothing, mm-hmm. nothing. Everything she promised to us, she did not do. However, she's still viewed as a good person, just like Pierre Poilievre, a leader of the opposition party. Why? Because she wants to cut down the carbon. She wants to cut the taxes. So unfortunately, our society is now only run by money. Money is the king. Money is everything. Babies that are being slaughtered, people that are losing their lives, that means absolutely nothing. Euthanasia, the biggest amount of suicides ever recorded in our province, the biggest amount of fentanyl overdoses, all of those things mean nothing. We have the biggest amount of homelessness, doesn't matter, as long as we will have the tax break. Our society has fallen so low that they see, when they look at the politician, they just want more money for themselves. Moral standards, who cares? She marches with homosexuals. She stands for abortion. All those things matter nothing to the average Albertan and average Canadian. And that's a sad part. We have fallen so low. We have dug a pit and we're still digging. And there is no moral standards. I mean, she was caught lying during that encounter with me for months, four times. So think about it. Four times she changed her story to the media. Well, lie after lie after lie after lie. So when she called me, she sounded good. She sounded like she wants to help. But she did absolutely nothing before, and she did absolutely nothing after. And by the way, I did not leak that conversation. There was a lot of hatred that I got it, that I recorded her and leaked it to the CBC. I mean, me and CBC were not best friends, if you know what I'm talking about. They hate me with a passion. It was my lawyer, which was fired, of course, after they leaked it and did it illegally. And it was under investigation, but you know, it is what it is.
That's unfortunate. I was just looking for one superhero story of one political person who actually stood in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came through and didn't smell like smoke, but it sounds like she missed an opportunity.
No, you have to understand, we got to go back a few years. If the politician or a media personality did not march with us when we needed them the most, when we were bleeding on the streets, when we were being arrested, and she did not, mm-hmm. not once, not even one single time she showed up at a rally or a protest during the lockdowns. Not one single time.
Yeah, that's very indicative.
Right? I mean, the proof is in the pudding. What else do you need to understand who those people are? When Christine Anderson came, she refused to meet her. I mean, Christine Anderson is one of the most courageous women on earth. She pushed this agenda from the very beginning. Pierre Poilievre called her radical extremist and threw her under the bus. That tells you everything you need to know. And yet, somehow, oh, he's going to cut taxes. Oh, he's a good guy. She's going to cut taxes. Okay, she's a good one. We are completely detached from reality because those individuals are leading us to the same slaughterhouse, except they are taking their time. So we must unite with like-minded people, people that honor God, love people, and are willing to prove it, not with just mere words, but with actions.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, Pastor, because what you're describing is I've used this analogy to explain the two-party system that we have in the United States. It doesn't matter if somebody's taking you to hell in an airplane or a bus, right? It's still the same destination, and that's exactly what you're describing here with your so-called opposition leaders. But let's talk about that moral vacuum that we're currently seeing throughout all the lands, truly. I mean, America has got it a little bit better, as you described, but we still are seeing that there is this moral vacuum. I want to go to the scripture on this, Matthew 12, 43 through 45. Now, most people are familiar with this. This is Jesus talking about an unclean spirit being cast out of a man, and he goes into the dry places. But he doesn't want to stay there, so he returns to the man. He finds that the man has been swept clean, but there's no one residing there. And that's specifically talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't in this individual. So he gets and finds seven demons that are worse than him and brings them back. And the man's state is worse than when it began. But he also says that this is how it will be with this wicked generation as well. Let's apply that at the national level, right? Because we are, in a lot of places, in a lot of ways, living in a post-Christian world. Right. And so if we apply that same analogy where we were at one point Christian and then we turned away from that and now the spirits have come back and they're seven times worse than what we were at, I think that's why we have this moral vacuum, was why we are bankrupt as nations.
100%. I mean, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. We were sending missionaries, and I was one of them, to Africa, to Europe, to save the souls over there. And we cleaned those people, casting out demons out of those people, and the demons came to North America and filled the people that didn't want to have anything to do with God. Well, you know, we don't want to talk about religion. We don't want to talk about politics. Well, the whole Bible is political. Actually, we call him the king. I mean, he doesn't get any more political than that. He calls us his ambassadors. I mean, who is an ambassador if not a politician representing the kingdom? It's nonsense. It's stupidity. It's just a lack of understanding, or people just don't read the Bible. The whole Bible from the very beginning is a highly political book that requires us to be the light everywhere, all the mountains of influence. So what happened was we have abandoned our own nations, and we were fighting for other nations, and then we realized we've lost our own nation in the process. What is going to require is a total spiritual revolution, a revival, if you will, awakening that is needed in our country, and it's not going to happen with cowardness, and it's not going to happen with the people that are not willing to say the right words. I mean, politeness in America, in Canada, is craziness. We were never called to be polite. We were called to be, you know, truthful. We are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is the truth, the good news, everywhere, either people like it or not. In Canada, our political realm stands, and I'm talking about all of the elected officials, all the parties. We got three parties, like you've got two, we got three, the same thing, revolving door. Outsiders will not even be allowed to participate in the process. The mainstream media is not even allowing the people to tell the Canadians their views. You're not invited to debates. It's only between the major parties. That's it. You're not even allowed to participate. That's how bad it is. It's controlled. And they all are the same coin. It's like this game, good cop and bad cop. They're all bad cops. They're just playing a game with the people, and somehow people are not seeing it. All the parties are standing for abortion, murder of the innocent lives. All the parties are standing for immigration. They want millions of immigrants to come to Canada. You know how many Canadians we have living under poverty line? Millions. Millions of Canadians, about 15% now of Canadians, are living under the poverty line. In January, the latest statistics that I saw for January, and now it's worse, is 30% of Canadians cannot afford to pay their bills. Wow. 30% of Canadians, and that's a mainstream media talking now about this. So the numbers are higher, and yet we are giving free drugs. When I was locked in prison, twice a day, inmates, including me, we were offered outside illegal drugs, but they're legal inside. Fentanyl, cocaine, five different narcotics were offered to us twice a day. Jeez. For free. And yet, if you have a sickness, the government will not pay or give you the prescription drugs. It's insanity.
Absolute hypocrisy. We've got about 5 minutes. We don't want to take too much of your time. We're just about hitting an hour. I really wanted to find out, Pastor Arthur, can you divulge, or do you have a date set to where you're going to be rallying the farmers, or a location, anything that we can begin to release? Is there any information you can give us on that yet?
Yes, Monday. So all across this nation, Monday, you're going to see the tractors, the truckers, and everybody else that wants to join slow rolling all over Canada. And there are a number of places, and exact locations, I don't have them here, but you can find them on Telegram and different other social networks. It's going to be a peaceful civil rights movement, and the way that the farmers want to do it is a slow roll. They're not going to block all the streets. They're going to block one lane and wait and see what kind of a pressure this is going to bring upon the crooks. Tuesday, I'm going to be in court supporting the prisoners, political prisoners that are being still hunted down. If you want to be part of my lawsuit, I mean, again, the government is right. Arthur Pawlowski is too small to fight the beast. My church is too small. One family cannot do it, but they don't understand that they have brothers and sisters all around the world that are willing to support what we're doing. So if you want to be part of this, please do go to streetchurch.ca, streetchurch.ca. We still feed thousands of people on the streets of Calgary. We've never stopped. I still run a regular church in a building and outside the building as well. Six times a week we gather. And
you're the real deer. You're the real deal. You practice what you preach. We love that.
Yeah, you know, be a doer, right? Not just a talker. The faith is manifested in your deeds. I've heard people talk the talk, but they're not willing to do the deeds. So if you go to a legal fight, you see it over there. It's right on the screen.
Yep.
And then when you click that, it will take you to a place, scroll down, and you will see a press conference when the lawyers are explaining what we're doing. And then underneath that, if you scroll down, there is the document with the lawsuit. And it's a fascinating document. Even for entertainment purposes, you can read what they have done to me, what we are alleging, and who are we going after. I think the people deserve to know who the villains are.
Yes.
People deserve to know their names, their faces, and they deserve to know why this was done to them. And that's my intention. That's why we're not going after hundreds of millions of dollars. We just put a small price within the lawsuit, because what we're doing, we're trying to uncover this conspiracy and let the people know what really happened during these crazy times.
Hey, Pastor Arthur. Real quickly, back to the trucker the farmer convoy. Could you, in about 30 seconds, what would you say to somebody, including the Telegram channel, they can find information? What would you say to somebody who's on the fence right now? Somebody who's living a rural lifestyle, they got farming to take care of, but if you really, what would you tell them to try to get them out there on the field in the fight?
Well, it's quite simple. They are coming after us. And you may say it's not your fight because this is not personally affecting you yet. But I'm telling you, they will come after you as well. And then there will be no one else to defend you, to stand for you.
It's Martin Niemöller right there.
That's right there in front of our eyes. When they came for the pastors, people said, well, I'm not the pastor. I'm not the Christian. Who cares? And look at us right now. They're coming after our children. They're coming after our economy. Fiat currency is collapsing. Food shortages. It's crazy. If you go to a grocery store, you see less and less. And this is just the beginning. So now God is giving you an opportunity to do the right thing and jump from the fence of being just, I'm here to observe, and join us, the people, and push this great evil for your own sake. You know, you got to remember, I am, see me as a shield and people like me as a shield between the villain and you. When people like me will be removed, my friend, you're next. They will come after you and after your children, but there will be no Arthur Pawlowskis to stand in between fighting. So it's in your best interest to support people like us and join the fight. And again, we're not talking about violence. We're not talking about hatred. We're actually talking about love. Do it peacefully, civil rights movement style, Martin Luther King Jr. style, Mahatma Gandhi style, solidarity movement style. There is more of us than the villains. If we come together, I'm telling you, in unity, it's over for the villains.
Amen to that. So for our audience, streetchurch.ca, go to the website. Go on over. It's just it's on the right hand corner of it. Legal fight. Check out the documents. You also have support us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to encourage you to support this. You can go on there and just send some money to support Arthur and in his fight against the evil Canadian dictatorship. So, sir, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show again. We'll make sure that that you're a reoccurring guest with us because we love you on this show and we support you 100%.
Is there a Telegram channel, real quickly, we can highlight that you mentioned that we can find out more information about the farmer interaction?
Yes, Solidarity Movement of Canada. It's a Telegram channel. All the information about different things are appearing over there. And, you know, we must keep pushing and we must come together while we still can come together. Poland is a perfect example of what happens when a totalitarian regime takes over. It takes decades to fight those hyenas and the wolves, and the children are always hurting. So for the sake of the next generation, let's do the right thing. Let's come together and shine.
Amen to that. Well, once again, sir, we appreciate your time. Hold off as we close the show. We'd like to talk to you a little bit afterwards as well. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church.
I'm Pastor Gabe, but calm does not suit me.
I'm Caleb Collier. I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTEAK. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14:2. The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself or maybe even a doctor for your family or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsignups.com. You for sure need to mention Church and State when you go to officialsignups.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to BH.com. Prophecy-PM.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to bh-pm.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry. Your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a two-for-one there. You know you've wanted a good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CHURCHANDSTATE.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State.
This was sacred to God. This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Hello, everybody. It's an honor to be with you.